for Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center. This is Bob Bevensy along with Grant Jelly, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, busy time of life for you at any rate. We've got one major season that opened up on Monday, and that was the turkey season. Ran for 4 days. What happened?
Well, yeah, you're right. It's the start of the spring turkey season here in Iowa, and it's a season that a lot of hunters look forward to. Unfortunately, anytime you have a hunting season in April, it's going to be pretty dependent upon the weather, and turkey season is especially that way. And, you know, the first season has been relatively slow, so to speak. I think we were talking a minute ago, and opening day, I got out bright and early, and I was hard-pressed to find a turkey hunter anywhere. did see a few turkeys, but seems like when I got over into Adair County, I happened to come across a few guys that had been turkey hunting. So a lot of people probably are holding off since we've had a few days of pretty bad weather this week, and they may be waiting for the second or third seasons, which is understandable. But, you know, did see a guy that had some luck on opening day, so that's always good to see. I think I came across four turkey hunters, so 25% is not bad for success rate. But talked to the few guys I did speak with. They did hear several turkeys gobbling that morning, and this was all on public land too, so that's good to hear. And you know, again, just want to throw out a few reminders there to turkey hunters. A lot of people say that turkey hunting can be one of the most dangerous hunting seasons that we have, and I would agree to that to a certain extent, but you know, common sense, just like any other thing in life, is invaluable in the spring turkey season. You got to remember, spring turkey season, we don't require people to wear hunter orange, so they're out there dressed in camouflage from head to toe, which, if you've ever hunted turkeys, is essential.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, one of the things that we're seeing nowadays is this kind of a trend where people are starting to use more and more decoys, and the decoys that are out there look extremely lifelike. And there's also a new fad going on that people call reaping or sneaking up on turkeys, where they hold the turkey fan in front of their head and they sneak across an open field. While this can be an extremely effective way to hunt, you know, a gobbler, you have to remember that if you're doing this on public land, you got to always act or think defensively that there's somebody else out there, or even that the bird perhaps that you're sneaking up on could be somebody else's decoy. So we want to just make sure that we use a little bit more common sense in the spring turkey hunting. Be extra careful and always assume that the bird that you're hearing is another guy or gal calling. If you're lucky enough to bag a turkey, you know, a lot of people throw them over their shoulder and they walk out of the woods with them. A lot of the turkey vests nowadays come with an orange flag that goes on the back of them, or even, you know, pack along a blaze orange vest that you can throw on after you've killed the bird or when you're done hunting for the day. It just, you hate to see instances where people can sometimes be confused for a turkey themselves if they'd have done something just a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Did the DNR kind of shoot themselves in the foot when they loosened up the licensing deal where you can buy a license the day of, and rather than having to pre-apply 3 or 4 months ahead of time?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it seems like a lot of states don't have drawing procedures for their turkey hunts, and so I think we probably followed that lead here in Iowa. You know, non-residents still have to either apply, or if there's tags available, they can buy those over the counter as well. But, you know, the thing I like about it as a turkey hunter is what we just talked about. If you look at the forecast for 7 days and you see that 4 out of your 5 day window there during your season is going to be rain or lightning, it gives people a chance to kind of pick and choose when they want to get out there and go. And, you know, obviously our fourth season is extremely popular because it's the longer one, and you see a lot of people get out there then. Or if the season opens on a Monday, you know, it may be that somebody has a difficult time getting off work. So, you know, I like the flexibility that we have. Or if a person's out scouting and they happen to, you know, see turkeys at their spot, they can go to the vendor and buy a tag roll and go out there that day. So the thing that we want to remind folks about is turkey hunting is no different than deer hunting in that after you harvest a turkey, you got 15 minutes or before you move it to get that tag on the bird's foot. And you also have until midnight the following day after you harvest one to get it registered. And, you know, we've kind of beat that horse to death, but registering animals in Iowa has become a bit of a problem with people just not taking the time to do it. And again, it's a very important information for biologists to base season timing and quotas and things like that on. So always want to encourage folks to make sure that they take the time to do that. And, you know, another thing that while we're on the subject of turkeys, this is also a time of the year where we see mushroom hunters hitting the woods.
Yes.
And, you know, especially on public land, when you've got mushroom hunters and turkey hunters out there, things can get a little bit difficult at times. And the same goes for mushroom hunters. If I were a mushroom hunter, I probably wouldn't get out there at 7 or 7:30 in the morning to go look for mushrooms, because, you know, maybe just have a little bit of respect for turkey hunters that may be out there. Or if you pull up and you see a vehicle parked there and think it may be a turkey hunter, maybe wait for another day or choose a different spot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we always tell, especially turkey hunters, to dress defensively. You don't want to see people walking around with blacks on or oranges or reds or blues, because these are sometimes colors that turkeys can display. And the same goes for mushroom hunters. You know, be careful carrying around a sack full of mushrooms or wearing a black shirt, because, you know, if you're sneaking through the woods and somebody's out there hunting turkeys, that can be a recipe for disaster.
You bet.
But again, every single hunting accident, for the most part, can be avoided by taking your time and positively identifying what you're shooting at. And if it doesn't have a beard, you know, you can't pull the trigger. So, a turkey beard, that is.
and some of us are fair game.
There you
is
go.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know, but you definitely want to take your time and identify that bird is a gobbler or a bearded turkey before you pull the trigger.
You bet. Let's talk about fishing. That has picked up quite a lot. The biologists are up on the lakes, or have been up on the lakes, netting walleye, getting ready to go for the new season, and a lot of good things going on.
Yeah, they are, and unfortunately I missed out on that opportunity, but next year I'm going to definitely have to get up there and help them with catching the walleye for the brood stock. And, you know, they do it on numerous big lakes, and especially up in northwest Iowa around the Great Lakes regions. But, yeah, I just, in fact, one of them texted me a picture last week of I would venture to say it was probably a 10 or 12 pound walleye he netted that night. So they definitely harvest a lot of fish. You know, these fish are not removed from the water. They're taken from the water. They strip the eggs out of them, and then they're fertilized later at the hatchery. And so, you know, there's no harm done to these fish. And people may ask the question, well, why are they taking, you know, fish with eggs out of lakes when they could be reproducing there? And the answer to that is they're not very successful at doing that. Walleye in Iowa tend to do much better in flowing water systems like small rivers or even big rivers like the Mississippi. And the biologists have found that the success rate of them spawning and reproducing in these big lakes is very, very minimal. So that's why we have to, you know, take these fish and remove the eggs from them, produce fry, and release them back into the water system, because they're just not able to do it on their own.
They go back to the lake where they were caught, too.
They sure do.
How
that.
Do they get the eggs? Is that a cesarean section?
No, I've actually watched the process, and it's quite simple. I mean, it's basically, they call it squeezing for eggs, and that's just what they do. They squeeze these eggs, and it's amazing the amount of eggs that can come out of a female walleye. I mean, it's more than you would ever think they're capable of holding, but they certainly do. So it's a neat process, and they collect, you know, I think they collect thousands of quarts of eggs to be sent down to Rathbun, where they're stuck in the hatchery there and fertilized. So it's a neat process.
You bet. The Iowa Outdoor Magazine had a great article. Well, they had two great articles, one on the osprey, which are getting established back in Iowa. The other one was on flathead catfish, a lot of things I didn't know about that. The flatheads get to be huge, and there's an old Indian legend that the moose were in the river and the catfish attacked them and made the moose mad, and they stomped on their heads, and that's how they got to be flatheads.
Interesting.
Whether you want to believe that or not, I don't. You got to be half Indian. But the thing is, we don't do noodling here in Iowa, which is hand fishing,
right,
for cats, and the reason that is so detrimental is it's the males that guard the nest, and that's the ones that get caught.
Right. Yeah, that's... I'm glad you brought that up. That's kind of a, there's a, it seems like every state has a small number of people that I'd call crazy enough to do this noodling thing. And you're right, we don't allow it in Iowa. You know, I worked in Missouri for a number of years where they had experimental season down there, and they saw that the effects of fishermen noodling in a stretch of water is very detrimental to the flathead in that particular stretch, because they do just that, you know. And aside from that, we also noticed that it was causing people to go out there and place man-made structures to where these fish would lay eggs, which is great for the fish. However, if they'd have just done that and left them alone, that'd have been one thing. But they went back later on after the males are on the nest, and they removed them from there. And then, of course, the eggs...
All of them are gone.
They're gone. The other fish eat them. And it's, you know, and it's not like they keep going and doing this over and over with the spawning. It's kind of a, sometimes a one-shot deal. So it can be a very effective way of removing male fish from a watershed. And like you said, it's very detrimental to the population. So flathead are kind of a unique catfish. They're very interesting species. We've got, you know, some great populations of them here in the Nish and other small rivers and tributaries that you see in southwest Iowa. They're not just a big water fish or a Mississippi River fish like the blue catfish is. So they're neat, and you know, you can use your ditty poles or you can catch them rod and reel, but that's the only methods that we allow here besides it.
Almost look like a bullhead on steroids.
They do. And one of the key, especially if you catch maybe a young one and you're not sure what it is, look at the lower lip. Their lower lip will protrude above the upper lip. So that's kind of a telltale way to identify the species. But yeah, they're a neat fish and excellent eating. I mean, they're my favorite catfish to eat. I don't particularly care to eat channel catfish, but flathead, they taste nothing like catfish, in my opinion.
Okay. We got some other things to talk about, but we ran ourselves out of time. We want to remind people to, when you're boating, play it safe. Clean the boats after you leave a lake so you don't take something from one place to another.
Absolutely. That's good advice.
For Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center, this is Bob Devensey along with Grant Jelly, the Conservation Officer for Cass and Adair Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report. Does our time go?